And we are delighted to have the Turners here from Canada, and looking forward to hearing about their ministry. And always good to have them back. They're from here, and praise the Lord, celebrating their anniversary, and just a lot of great times and great things that we've talked about this morning. But anyway, listen carefully. Let God speak to your heart, and I believe you're going to have some questions and answers. Is that right? So you be thinking about that. Brother Ben Turner, you come.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning, and good to be back in our home church here in Adrian, Michigan. I was telling the preacher that this weekend is a special weekend for my wife and I because it was 18 years ago tomorrow, actually, 18 years ago tomorrow that we got married right here in this auditorium. And thank the Lord for that, and thank the Lord for new faces here today that we do not know. Praise the Lord for that. And thank the Lord for those of you that have been here all these years, faithfully serving the Lord, and to God be the glory. We are, again, thankful for Berean Baptist Church and your prayerful and, of course, your financial support. You have been supporting our family for 14 years, and it's always there. And we thank you for that. And that's a great encouragement. And you've allowed us to be in the Vancouver area now for 12 years. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But time continues to move by. We arrived there in May of 2000. And we started Anchor Baptist Church in June of 2001. In a little bit, we're going to show a video right at the end of the Sunday School Hour. We'll show a video. It's only about 6 minutes long, but it'll show you some of the people that you have helped us reach with the gospel. And that is the church. The church is people. This is a lovely facility, but this isn't the church. We know that. And we make up the church today, and we're thankful for what God is doing in the Vancouver area. Let me just tell you a little bit about what God has done in the last 11 years of Anchor Baptist Church. We currently have 8 Sunday school classes that meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and we have a Spanish ministry that just began this year. Some of these are prayer requests. We do have our prayer card. I have some on the first pew of the back section on my right over here. If you didn't get one, these are newer. We haven't been here for 6 years, so we want everyone to have a prayer card today. Please take one of these and pray for us. If you'd like to get our email or our prayer letter by email, just let us know that, and we can help you with that information. But we started a Spanish ministry. God has allowed us to have a Spanish class at 1 in the afternoon, gave us a family that are from, Honduras. And they are on fire for the Lord, and they love the Lord. And they do the Spanish Sunday school class. I preach in there once a month, and through an interpreter. I haven't learned how to preach in Spanish yet. I can barely do that in English. So he does a great job interpreting for me, and we've really enjoyed that. We go every Sunday to a different nursing home, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity to reach people that cannot make it to church. We go to the prison 2 times a month, the first and the third Saturday of every month. It's about a 45-minute drive to the Fraser Regional Correctional Center. And again, these are prayer requests that we would trust that you would join with us in praying about. We've been able to see many souls saved there in the prison and then try to direct them into Bible preaching churches. Some have even been able to attend our church once they've been released. Something that we started about 4 years ago that was a dream that we had was to start a public school Bible club. And God opened up a door about 4 years ago through one of our teenage young ladies to go to the Burnaby Mountain Secondary School, which is about 5 minutes from where our church meets. Every Monday we go in there and during the lunch hour, and I go down to the band room. We have anywhere from, there'll be a group shot on the presentation that you'll see in a moment. We have anywhere from 10 to 15 teenagers that come voluntarily, and they come downstairs to the band room, and we share different things from the Word of God. A lot of them are going to church, not necessarily church like Anchor Baptist or Berean Baptist, but they are going to church, and so we've been able to disciple them and ground them, and we've been able to see many of them come to know the Lord as Savior. We have, praise God, been able to have one family in the church as a result of the public school Bible club ministry. We don't go in there from Anchor Baptist Church. We go in there from the Truth Be Told Bible Club, and that's the name of our club, and we would definitely covet your prayers for that. But we reached a young man by the name of Glenn, Glenn got saved in the club when he was about 16, 17, grade 11, grade 10, somewhere in there, and continued to come to the club. And then I would say a little over a year ago, maybe 18 months ago, his mom, his stepdad, and his sister began to attend the church. That is the presentation, but that was a little early. Thank you, Kevin. That was a good one there, Kevin. And do you want me to sit down? Is that what you're trying to say, Kevin? You know why Kevin did that? He did that because of all those years him and I used to work together over in the on the Wednesday night program. I must have really got under his skin or something. And so he's paying me back for that. Wow, that was really good. Okay. And that's okay. You know, I've had my cell phone go off two or three times in church, and I forgot to turn it off, and that's terrible. And so I have a lot of grace for things like that because I've been had several times with the preacher's cell phone going off in church. Anyway, this family started coming, and Glenn's mom followed the Lord in believer's baptism. She was already saved. Glenn followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and just a little while back, his sister followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And his mom has since joined the church, and so this is as a direct result of the public school ministry. And that is again something that we're just thankful that God allowed us to have a part in. And we're not obviously not having that right now, but we would continue to ask you to pray for that. And then again, since we were here in 2006, God has allowed us to start a ministry to the Persians. How many of you know the main group of people that Persian, what country, who would know what country, the main country the Persians are from? Who knows? Yes, sir. Iran, that's right. Good job, Brother Chase, right there. And I tell you, coming from the United States, the last group of people that I thought God would ever let us impact would have been people from Iran. But God, in His mercy, sent us a family who Google searched and found our church. He said it was the greatest Google search he'd ever done. They lived 5 minutes from our church. We're driving about a half an hour to go to church. Basically, as he said to his own testimony, we were Sunday Christians only. Isn't that a convicting statement, though? I wonder how many of us this morning in this room would just be Sunday Christians. You know, that's not really what the Christian life is all about. And I guess this is Sunday school, so let's keep on the subject here. But boy, I want to be a seven-day-a-week Christian. And Brother Ahmad said, you know, I knew that we needed more because that's all we were, was a Sunday Christian. And they had been born again. His family had all been saved, but they had never been discipled and scripturally baptized. And they came into our church, and God worked a miracle in his life, and he really caught a spark for the things of the Lord. They all followed the Lord in believer's baptism at our church. They are members of the church now. And on Easter Sunday 2009, we started the Persian ministry. And God's allowed us to reach right around 10 Muslims with the gospel, saved, and many of them have been scripturally baptized as well. And they meet on Sunday nights during our 6 o'clock service. And one of the ladies in particular in there is so on fire for God. She comes in just about every Sunday and asks me for a stack of tracts, not two or three, but for a stack of English tracts. And she hands those out everywhere she goes and has a wonderful testimony and boldness for the glory of God. And so another unique ministry that God has allowed us to have and to work with there. Also, about 2 years ago, maybe not quite that long, we were able to start a deaf ministry. I have always loved the deaf people, and especially here at Berean Baptist Church, I remember many of them through the years growing up here, and thankful for the deaf ministry here as I see it continuing on today. And we now have 3 adult deaf that faithfully attend every Sunday morning. You can pray with us about this. Right now, we're actually hiring an interpreter. Our interpreter was a missionary who has since gone back to the mission field. And I won't say it too loud how much we're paying for an interpreter, because the interpreter here might take note of that. And I said that in one church that we were in Washington State. The interpreter came up to me, and I told that to her, and I told her how much we had to pay. And she said, oh, well, I need to go talk to the pastor about this. And I said, don't tell him you heard it from me. But actually, it is a prayer request, because it is a considerable financial load. But we believe that those 3 deaf people need a church. And actually, two of them are taking a ferry every Sunday morning, about a 45-minute ferry ride and then about a 45-minute bus ride just to get to church because there's no deaf ministry. They're actually on like an island, and there's no deaf ministry on their island. And so they do that every Sunday to come to church. Again, to me, a very convicting testimony of someone who that much wants to be in church. And so pray with us about that deaf ministry. We'd like to see it grow, but we're thankful that we have the three adults that come pretty much every Sunday at this point. And then this year we started a young adults ministry, kind of like a college and career class, and that's just getting off the ground. And we're grateful and thankful for that. I'd like to give you a couple of prayer requests for this summer. I know you just had a very successful vacation Bible school, and we rejoice with you in that. One thing about some of these things on the internet that you can follow different places, and I want you to know we pray regularly for Berean Baptist Church, for Pastor and Mrs. Rogers, and for this family here. And I want you to know that we don't take lightly what you're doing here. And we're thankful that you're continuing to do it here. And for God's glory. But a couple things you can pray with us about if you have a pen and you don't mind jotting some of these things down. This is for this summer, that things that you do here that we do there, but some dates, and we would really covet your prayers. We have junior camp coming up at our church, which will be the next to the last week of July. I believe that is the 23rd. I might be off on that date. It's the next to the last Monday in July, junior camp. And then teen camp is the very next week, the last Monday in July it starts. And those, of course, run Monday through Friday. And we've got this year, we've got seven juniors going to camp. And we're thankful for that. I don't know how many teenagers yet because they're getting that in as of this Tuesday. We won't be back for that, but just pray that God will work in each of the young people's hearts that will be going to camp. And then our vacation Bible school is later in the summer. It's August 13 through 17. I was telling my father-in-law that our schools do not get out until their last day of school was June 28th. Can you believe that? June 28th, the public schools were all the way until then. So we make our vacation Bible school a little bit later in the summer. So pray with us about that. We usually have anywhere from 75 to 100 young people that are registered. And for us, that is a huge group of kids. Considering that we set up and take down every day for vacation Bible school, we read in a rented facility. So every night we get there about 5:30. We set up any decorations, and we have to keep our decorations down to a minimum because they're going to get taken down that night. The next day, reset them up again, take them down, and we do that 5 days in a row. So pray with us that God will continue to do a great work in the young people's lives in the vacation Bible school. And then our family has a personal prayer request. If you'd pray with us about our moving. We're moving. As soon as we get back on Thursday, we will continue packing. And then by the end of July, we are moving into a different home. We've lived in the same home for 10 years and been renting, and we'll continue to rent. I noticed this house over here on the corner, $59,000. Boy, I tell you, if I could only lift that house up and take it with me to Canada, I would do it. That house, just to give you an idea of the property value, if that house were on my street, I don't know who owns that home, but they might not want to hear this, it would probably be worth $500,000 easily, maybe even $750,000. Our home is that we live in now is about 70 years old. It's the oldest home left on our block. It just sold about 6 months ago. I do not know what it sold for, but I would not be surprised if it did not sell for at least $600,000. And it's 1,100 square feet. And again, 70 years old, the single pane windows. I mean, we praise God for it, but the housing is just unbelievable. And so whether we ever own a home there or not, it's okay, but pray God's will on that. We sure would love to if that's His will. But so we're moving. If you could pray about that, if you will. And then and a prayer request that we always have for our own lives especially, but also for the people that we are able to serve with is spiritual growth. Well, don't we need a day, 2012, aren't we living in a day where we need to have spiritual growth in all of our churches? You know, it'd be great if every pew was full today at Anchor Baptist, I'm back home, and Berean Baptist. But you know what? I say as a pastor, as a missionary, my prayer request is that everybody that comes is desiring to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I've said this for years. Wouldn't it be amazing? We have the Bible, the Word of God, and we need to read our Bible every day. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But here's the thing. Wouldn't it be amazing if we obeyed everything that we knew right now from the Bible? If you and I didn't learn anything else from the Bible from this day forward, now we should, but here's the point. If we didn't learn anything else from the Bible, but we applied everything from the Bible that we already know, what would that do for our walk with God? My friends, I know what it would do. Personal revival would start in your heart. Personal revival would start in my heart. And then from there, revival would begin. And so I'm just thankful for this church continuing to stand for the things of the Lord. And my wife and I owe a great debt to this place. And I would encourage you Sunday school teachers, and I would encourage you teenagers, and I would encourage you everyone here this morning, continue to stand on the things of the Word of God. You are investing in people's lives. Becky and I are nothing today, but you are investing in people's lives. You do not know who you're investing in. And today, your arm is reaching all the way about 3,500 miles west of here. Your arm of influence is reaching into Vancouver, British Columbia. And I'll have to say, I never dreamed 18 years ago when we said, I do, at this altar, that that's where God would take us, but that's where He did. And it's a beautiful thing to be in the center of the will of God. And one more thing, and then I'll open it up to questions you might have. I want to just say, give you a praise report. It is on our letter, I believe, that's in the hallway. We had our 11th anniversary on the second Sunday of June this year. To God's glory, we set an all-time attendance high. 225 people came that day. To give you an idea of the spiritual pulse of the British Columbia area, that's our province, by the way. We have provinces and territories. The largest independent Baptist church in British Columbia averages about 225, and they're about 30 years old. And that's just a statement just to give you an idea of the spiritual pulse of our province. And we need your prayers. We had 30 different nations represented on that one Sunday. United States, Canada, and 28 more. When I say nations represented, these were people that were not born in Canada or the United States, born all over the world, all kinds of Spanish-speaking countries, European countries, just all over. Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, all of these countries. It's just amazing to stand up and look at the crowd on a Sunday morning and just see the mission field. And they have come to Vancouver, many of them, to learn English. They have come to have a better life for their family. And we know the only way anybody's going to have a better life, and that's with the Lord Jesus Christ being their Lord and Savior. We'll talk more about that in the morning service. Is there anyone that might have a question this morning about the work that God has brought up to our family or the Vancouver area, or just a general question in mind? We'll try to help you with those this morning. Anyone at all that might have a question today? That's a good question. Yes, sir, we are. The blessing is that we're still renting the same facility all 11 years. We set up and take down every Sunday morning, and we set up and take down every Wednesday night. So we're renting it 2 days a week. It's about $3,000 a month to rent the facility, basically for about 8 to 10 days of use. But if we were to lease something that would hold our church, it would be about $10,000 to $12,000 a month. So $3,000 a month isn't that bad, and of course it's a very accessible building. We're about 5 to 10 minute walk from a subway above ground. It's called the SkyTrain, and we have about 5 to 10 minute walk from us about 15 high rise buildings, anywhere from 20 upwards to 35 stories high. I mean, it is a concrete jungle where we live. There's not much land available for building. If we were to get our own building, more than likely, it would be an existing church building that we could buy from someone or rent from someone if they were to close their doors. Most churches that own property have another church and or two churches that are renting space in the afternoon. A very good question. Someone else. Yes, sir. The Shaver. That's another good question. Because it's a melting pot of around the world, we have all the religions of the world are there as well. Of course, the mainstream, we have the, we call it the Church of England, the Anglican Church, which is the Episcopalian Church here in the States. That's a church right up the street from us. We have United. Of course, we have Roman Catholic. Then there's the religions that have come in from around the world. Of course, Islam and the mosque. But then there's the East Indians. We have a lot of Indians in our community from India, and most of them are in the Sikh religion, and they have also their temples that they go worship in. But actually, the major group of people go nowhere. It's pretty much 6 days a week at the job, and then party and relax and go to the beach or go to the mountain and ski or go to the golf course or, you know, use some of the toys that I pay for during the week on Sunday. So really, it's really an unchurched area. We meet a lot of people that are my age, which 39 now, a lot of people my age and older that have never been to church. And I'm talking Caucasian, never been to church. And that's unusual. I mean, I'll get you in just a second, Brother Chase. You know, it's interesting, just driving around Adrian, and I don't know what the population of Adrian is now, but an eye-opener to see just all the, I mean, I know they're not all necessarily preaching the gospel as they should, but just to see church buildings in a town the size of Adrian compared to where we live, you got to drive to search and find even a church building. And so it's Canada, it's the neighboring country to the U.S., but especially in the West Coast. I can't speak for Ontario as much. I think the middle of our country, Saskatchewan and Alberta, that would be our conservative Bible belt if we had a Bible belt. It might be a Bible rope, but anyway, you know what I mean by that. But it's been said that in all of Canada, there's somewhere around 200 to 250 independent Baptist churches in the whole country. Population-wise, Canada is about the size of California, about 33 million for the whole country. Vancouver's about 2.5 million, somewhere in there. Brother Chase, you had a question?
Brother Turner, I was just wondering, I don't know if you had mentioned it at all about Brother Arbo.
Yes.
He basically took you in the first few days, weeks, months when you first came out there. I haven't heard much from him, but maybe you could talk a little bit about how they took you in.
Yes, sir. When we first went to Canada, of course, this was before 9/11. I didn't even have a passport. I didn't have a visa. I just had my family of four, a Ryder truck, and our minivan, and we're going to Canada. But what we did have is we had a letter inviting us into the country from Pastor Larry Arbo in Park City Baptist Church. Their church is still in existence, about 30 years, I think, now they've been there. And we got to the border, I think it was May 10th or May 12th, 2000, pulled up in the Ryder truck, and the guy says, you know, where are you going? And I said, well, we're moving here. You know, kind of green I was. And again, no passport and no visa. And he said, oh, you are? And I said, we had an itinerary of everything that we owned, and we also had a letter inviting us in. And, you know, this would never happen in 2012. I gave him the stuff. He looked at it for about 5 minutes or less, probably, because it felt like an hour, you know, because you're nervous. He gave it back to me, and he said, have a good day. We drove across the border into Canada. No passport, no visa. Didn't open up the truck, even. I could have been smuggling in who knows what. And that would not happen today. But Brother Arbo was a great help to us. We worked with him for 1 year at Park City Baptist Church. And so now, 12 years later, in fact, just this year, God helped us to get what we call permanent resident status. So now we have the what would be equivalent to a Social Security number. We have one of those now in Canada. And it's kind of funny what they call it there. They call it a SIN number. So now we've been given permission to SIN in Canada. It's a social insurance number, SIN. So now we all have that, which basically means that we can do everything within Canada now with the exception of voting. And that is something that is a 5-year status as opposed to our 2-year visa that we were on, which we had to renew every 2 years. which always there was always a gap in our insurance that we have there, and so forth and so on. But so that's a praise. We have that permanent resident status now, and it can be renewed every 5 years without any difficulty. I don't have a watch, so where are we on time? 10 o'clock? Okay, we have just a few more minutes before we show that. Yes, sir.
What's soul winning like there?
Good question.
Spiritually as well as legally?
Good question. We have no problem legally going door to door, and we do. I would say it's very, if we can introduce ourselves and if we can at least get a track in their hand, we feel like that's, you know, that's a seed planted. I was able to lead a Filipino lady to the Lord about 2 months ago at the door. That's probably the first time I've been able to lead somebody to the Lord at the door. It's been years. And the attempts, it's not that the attempts haven't been made. And I will say that, you know, she was Filipino. And I say that because most of the spiritual temperature of the Canadians is very cold. Very cold. In fact, having someone come to the door that's Filipino or some other nationality, I hate to say this, I am Caucasian, but I'm glad. Because I'll know I have a chance to at least, they'll at least, out of respect, you see, the respect is totally gone with the Canadians pretty much. Now, I have to say this. They've been bombarded because of the people that are faithful to their cult. You know, JW. They're everywhere. It seems like every neighborhood we go to, we'll change a complete neighborhood and they're there next week. And so a lot of times the door knocking is affected because they've just been hammered by the cults. So we do go door knocking. But another thing that we have done is we have tried to get mass. Like for our anniversary, we mailed 13,000 invitations and delivered about 10,000 on foot. And we didn't knock on any of those doors. We just delivered them in mass. But freedom-wise, we can do it. It's not against the law. And we can leave our stuff in the mailbox, too. It's within the law to leave your church invitations in the mailbox. Saw another hand back here. I think Mrs. Hintz. Yep. Well, I want to say we took you to a place we did not get. That's what I want to say, because the one that we wanted to rent, we never were able to. And that was of the Lord, because it wasn't around. I mean, there's people everywhere, but where we're at now is in such a centrally located area. It's got a library in it, and that is now open on Sunday. And for us, that's a good thing, because we've had numerous people come in the building and hear the singing and just walk down the hallway and come in. You know, I believe this is possibly why God has not allowed us to have our own facility yet. And like I said, what's a building? You know, praise God for your building. I'm not trying to be negative, but, you know, the building isn't going anywhere someday. Right. It's going to stay here and be overrun by who knows who. But I'll tell you, the lives of the people that you're influencing here in Adrian and the surrounding community, you know, we know that we're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Same thing in Vancouver. We're just trying to send more people up to be with the Lord someday. With God's help. Yes, sir?
Are you able to get into the public schools?
We mentioned that, Mr. Bailey. I believe you were coming in from the bus route, but yes, we are in there. Every Monday for a Bible club, Truth Be Told Bible Club. And it is exciting. You'll see a picture up here. Interesting. I'm not in it, but it's all Asians except one. When you see the picture, you'll know it's from the public school. Anyone else? Yes, sir? I didn't catch that. I'm sorry. They considered me what? I'm sorry. No, no. Oh, I was glad that... I was glad that because they seem they're okay. Well, no, we and I'll tell you, we've got we have Nigerians in our church, we have Jamaicans in our church, we have people from Togo in our church, people from, what am I missing? Congo in our church. And these are regular attenders. And again, we thank the Lord for all the different countries that come. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight.
Amen.
I think we should go ahead and show that DVD now. It's about 6 minutes long. And again, what it will do is, it'll just show you, again, I put this thing together, and I'm not a professional at this, but it's pictures and a couple of songs, as we heard a moment ago. But I just want you to realize, when you send your support to our family, this is the fruit to your account and to the glory of God.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Brother Turner. And what an exciting work. That taking down and setting back up, we did that for about a year in Flint. And that is, you have to have a lot of people dedicated and faithful every week, every time. I mean, people walk out and somebody has to do all that work. And so what a blessing that is. So anyway, praise the Lord. Brother Turner will be preaching in the morning service, which is coming up. So let's have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Father, for this Sunday school hour. And thank you for, again, just burdening our hearts for our neighbors to the north. And the need is so great there, Lord. It's just amazing to see that huge, huge city of millions of people, and to realize, Lord, that there's so few churches there giving out the gospel. And I pray that you will continue to bless the Turners, and Lord, stir our hearts, I pray, and help us again to be faithful in our prayers, our giving, and our own soul winning here in our area. I pray in Jesus' name.